This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, a special Memorial Day edition in which, instead of hearing from a veteran himself as usual, we learn the story of one of the 405,000 Americans who died while serving in World War II, a B-25 bomber pilot and recipient of the Purple Heart and Distinguished Service Cross, Roger W. Jameson. We're gleaning his story piece by piece from the son he never got to meet, Roger Murray. And we've heard how Roger spent most of his life knowing next to nothing about his dad, only to have well-timed clues lead him to huge revelations. When we left off, Roger had seen the name Gaylord Holmes on a crumpled dollar bill he had inexplicably held on to for decades. Then he found that Mr. Holmes was still living at age 94 in Sublimity, Oregon, and you were about to talk to him.
So he gets on the phone, and I said, "Sir, my name's Roger Murray. My dad was Roger Jameson." He says, "Roger Jameson." He said, "I was his navigator before he got his own crew." And he says, "Let me tell you a few things about your father." He said, "Your father adored your mother, and whenever he would get a letter from your mom, he would read excerpts of the letter to the crew. And I've talked about your father for 70 years. And I said, "Why would you do that?" He says, "Well, are you aware that your dad died the day he found out you were born?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I just found that out." He says, "We have to meet." He says, "Can you come up and see me?" So I contacted the son of Sergeant Lang, who lived in Astoria, and the two of us went and spent 2 days with Gaylord and his wife. And Gaylord spent 2 days just sharing personal stories about my dad. I didn't want to hear about war stories. I wanted to learn about him. Turns out that Gaylord was his best friend, and when the boys went on R&R, they went together. So he knew my dad quite intimately, and it brought a whole new dimension to me about my dad.
And did you find out why they'd all signed their names on that dollar bill, what that was all about?
Yeah, it turned out to be a tradition that was started in 1920. When crews went overseas, they would sign each other's dollar bill or currency at the time.
I know people are making these connections as they listen, but I'm struck. You talk about coincidence or divine intervention here. If that tradition didn't exist, if that dollar had not been passed down to you, if you hadn't rediscovered it a year and a half ago, you never would have met this man who knew your father so well and heard all these stories that you couldn't have found out anywhere else.
Right.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Yeah. It's circumstance or spiritual intervention. There's a bigger force that is working at this.
Of all the things that Mr. Holmes shared with you about your father, was there something that was the most meaningful to you?
The thing that was very profound he kept sharing was the love my dad had for my mom.
And you see that in some of the letters that they write to each other. And there's a letter where he says, "We might be having a baby. I really hope that's true. I really want a baby."
Right. One of the letters that I discovered, my dad writes that my mom gave him cigars on Father's Day, June of 1942. And he wonders to my grandmother, "I wonder if Shorty," my mom's nickname, "I wonder if she's trying to tell me something." The other thing that's profound to me is the obvious love that he had for my grandmother and the real strong belief that he had in God. Because throughout his letters, he relates, "If it's God's will, it's God's will." And I didn't realize that there was that. It just brought so many dimensions of him that really hold him in high esteem, not just by being a man that was killed at war, but a great father to be so excited about my birth and his love for my mom and his love for my grandmother and their love for each other. That's pretty profound. And people that have read my book, that's what they comment on the most. Mm-hmm. Is that bond, that family unit. And so I tried to capture not just war stories and issues, but in my book, I try to also capture the microcosm of an American family at war.
And I know you've done that very powerfully. The book is Letters Home from a Fallen Hero, A Son's Quest for His Father. It's on Amazon. I have it linked at hometownheroesradio.com, and you can find a lot of photos from it on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And the amazing thing about this book is so much of it has unfolded after you started writing it. You started writing it before most of the stuff in it actually unfolded in the last couple of years. That's crazy. What else has happened just in these last few months and years?
Well, I received an email from the same member of the Army Air Force Forum. He contacts me and he says, Roger, you need to open this link. I open the link, and it's a War Department film, filmed the day that my dad was killed.
What were you feeling as you opened that link?
I didn't know what to expect. I'm sitting here at my desk. The film opens up. There's no audio, but it shows the guys playing volleyball. They then drop the net. They go over for the briefing, and I see what appears to be my father in this group at the briefing. In fact, I replayed it 4 or 5 times. I go, that looks like him. That's got to be him. They leave the briefing, and the film now continues. They're now on the bombing run, and it shows them dropping bombs on Sfax. The very tail end of the film, it shows a plane being hit, and it shows it on fire, and it shows it dropping out of formation. Well, that's my dad. I wanted to be very skeptical at that point and not just have wishful thinking or whatever you might want to call it. That was the only plane that went down that day, was my dad's. And the description of it and where they were in the echelon.
So in the last couple of years, you've gone from knowing virtually nothing about what happened to your dad to knowing exactly what happened on the mission, to finding out that that was the same day he found out you were born, and now to seeing him on that day he died and his plane starting to go down.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Wow. What do you think is going to happen next? What haven't you found out yet? What's the missing piece to the puzzle?
There's several pieces to the puzzle that I'm trying to find. First of all, I've been trying to find the disposition of in the families of the crew members. I feel very strongly I need to share what I've learned.
And in doing so, you might discover if there was a third parachute.
Right. I did find the co-pilot's family. My mission right now, and I've not had a lot of luck, is I want to find the family of John Carrington, who was the bombardier. I have so much to share with them, and he's chronicled in that book. He's chronicled in my book. I have all the circumstances and the mission report and things like that. I have friends that are out searching for me. I've been searching for months. That's what I really want to find. That will bring closure to me for the crew. Dick Lang and the other survivor reentered the service and died of health issues later. What's interesting is when I had been calling and talking to Sergeant Lang's son, after he talked to me, he said, he called me and he goes, Roger, I just went in and found my dad's footlocker and I found a manuscript that he had written that we didn't know existed. And he talks about your dad in this manuscript. It's before the crash. And he says, I'm giving it to my mom and she'll type it up for you. His mother's 88 years old. Her name is Irma. She typed it all up and sent it to me. And I was so moved by it. An 88-year-old woman doing this for me. So I emailed her and I said, ma'am, I lost my mom a couple years ago and I miss her. And I said, can I adopt you as my mom? So now she emails me, hi, son, love mom. And it's increased my family. I've just met so many wonderful people through this.
A couple more questions I have to ask you. But first of all, with this book, and it's a great, thick, thorough book with a picture of a very handsome young pilot in the Army Air Corps, Roger Jameson on the front. That's Roger's dad. Letters Home from a Fallen Hero is the name of the book, and you'll find it on Amazon.com. When people read this book, what is it you want to leave them with? What do you want them to take from this experience of following your journey that you've been on?
I've read many, many books, soldier stories, etc. A lot of them were one-dimensional, and I really wanted to capture an American family at war, not just the warriors or not just two lovers. It's what my grandmother went through as a riveter, and she describes trying to get meat and trying to raise chickens to eat and what she was going through. And we were successful in World War II because of the family unit and our country pulling together. And that's what I tried to capture. The second thing that it's doing, it's opened the door now for other people that are trying to now find out about their dads. I'm being contacted almost weekly now of people with similar situations that are trying to ask for my help. The one main theme, everyone that reads my story of circumstance and spiritual intervention feels that this would be movie material more so than a book. because of that, I had seen a documentary that Nancy Spielberg, Steven Spielberg's sister, was doing on the Israeli war. And so I sent her an excerpt of my story. And she replied right back that this is movie material.
Maybe that's one of the next chapters. And if it is a movie, I know who can play your dad, because that photo, I mean, it's Jerry O'Connell, the actor. It looks just like him. It's incredible. I've got to ask you, though, about your dad, because some people maybe have bounced around a little bit in this story, and they're saying, well, what's this about the blonde-haired kid in Italy? And that part of Italy is really close to where your dad's plane went down.
Correct.
So in the back of your mind, there's this possibility. Maybe he did survive. He had to escape. This is still hostile territory. He doesn't want to be a POW. I mean, you tell me what goes through your mind and what you really think happened. Do you believe that he died, or do you believe he survived and had some other family in Italy?
First of all, the crash where the plane went down was between Tunisia and southern Italy. The two survivors were pulled out of the water by two Italian fishermen. The Italian fishermen took him to a German hospital. In some of the correspondence, observers saw a launch heading in that direction. Where we lived in southern Italy would have been a logical place if whoever it was, my dad or one of the other two, that would have been a logical place to take him. The Germans had that area occupied. That was a military operation at that time. There's a possibility with my mom, and the way the story goes and the things that are coming out after all these years, there's a remote possibility, but I don't want to just be consumed by it. I'm just so happy right now with what I know, and I don't want to go on a quest and sometimes let sleeping dogs lie. I don't know. I really can't answer that honestly.
So if you do make a movie, it might be one of those with alternate endings.
Could be. Or leave cliffhanger.
There you go. Well, I think you've left everyone on the edge of their seat in this program today, Roger. And I know you recently made a change to your book. There was a way that you wanted your book to conclude.
I recently went to Stockton Airfield. That's where my dad got his wings and married my mother. And they allowed me to go into the archives and just go through their books. And I came across a document that hit me very, very hard, that I think captures the spirit of these men that went off to war, these warriors. And I really would like to read that, because this describes them and describes the mentality of these young boys that went to war.
And you never got to know your father, but it seems like this short statement helps you understand who your father was and what
he was
about.
Right. And mm-hmm. and all the rest of the men that you interview. And they said, we, the class of 42H, dedicate this, our final class book, to our country's future, a future that we will have a part in forming, a future that we must secure even though it cost our life and the lives of countless others. In our strength lies the strength of our nation. In our weakness lies our country's weakness. There will be no weakness. As each of us enters combat, we must remember that we fight for our life, our country's life, and the lives of millions enslaved. Our future as a nation, as a guiding force in the world, will depend upon our success or failure. We will not fail. Before us, our country faces two futures, one bright, the other dismal. We shall decide which of these two futures will be realized. We must. We will realize for our nation a future wherein men speak and live free of any shadow of dictatorship or oppression. To this we have dedicated not only this book, but our lives.
Wow. 1942.
1942.
That's where America was. That's what these young men were fighting for. And I get the sense that you're including this now at the end of your book is not just to paint a historic picture, but there's also some present-day value.
Right.
What impact do you feel or hope that that can have today for the folks who read it?
I hope we can reinstill that. This feeling from these young men just overpowers me. I just want to see our country kind of come together again, like we did, and reading something like this just gives me that feeling.
And you know that's what was in your father's heart. And you made a statement earlier that I think is worth another question about. You said that this journey you've been on, and again, it started pretty innocently and pretty small, and boy, has it grown. The mushroom just keeps spreading. Those ripples are still going, and we don't know where else it's going to take you. But you said that it's helped you learn who your father was and helped you learn who you are. What do you understand about yourself now that you didn't before you started this journey?
I found that I have the same sensitivities that my dad had, the same humor. There are a lot of his particles in me.
No doubt. I'm fixating a little bit on that dollar bill, that short snorter with all the signatures, and I'm just imagining you as a kid knowing that was back there, and for whatever reason, not throwing it in your wallet or going spending it on a lollipop or a milkshake or whatever.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that $1 bill is worth a lot more than a dollar to you.
Oh, absolutely. It's priceless. It's changed my life. For the last 2 years, I've been in a different world, and I wasn't in a place to do that when I was working. I finally decided when I started that I was going to retire even my part-time work and devote myself to this, and I became immersed in it and went through quite a few different emotions.
Oh, I imagine. And God's timing is always perfect. I think it's an inspiration to folks who are going to read your book. Again, that book, Letters Home from a Fallen Hero, A Son's Quest for His Father. Boy, has that quest been an exciting and unexpected one for Roger Murray. I know people are inspired today hearing you. There are a lot of others out there who don't know about their fathers, what they did in World War II, whether they survived or not. Is there any piece of advice that you would share with those folks who have always kind of wondered but never taken the time to investigate?
Absolutely. Pull those documents out. Pull the letters out. There's so many resources on the internet now. See, if I would have started this 10 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten here because we didn't have the internet's capability.
You would have hit dead ends.
We're losing our veterans. I also do a newsletter for the 82nd Bomb Squadron. I've been doing it for going on to a year, and I'm losing those veterans almost monthly. And so we're losing those resources, and the timing is now. We need to contact these guys that are still here and get their stories. It's a piece of our history that we're losing. And they don't teach that in schools anymore, in the detail that we're learning.
And the time you put in will definitely be worth it.
I hope so.
Sure has been for you.
Yeah.
Well, and I couldn't have said it better myself when it comes to the importance of preserving this history. That's the whole mission of this program. Again, if you're interested in Roger's book, it's Letters Home from a Fallen Hero. It is on Amazon. I do have it linked at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. I hope that you enjoyed our time today as much as I did. And if there are some missing pieces to the World War II picture in your family tree, maybe you'll be motivated now to do a little digging. Remembering the more than a million Americans who have given their lives in the service of our country as we mark this Memorial Day, I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.